Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Payne Stewart.
We went to ask her what her boyfriend's name was, and she gave us the fake name.
Authorities are searching for a man charged with indecent exposure and for his girlfriend, who they say lied about his name.
A husband and wife were arrested in Nicholasville for growing marijuana.
Two people have been arrested after a Maysville drug bust.
The Bluegrass Biennial Art Exhibit will host its closing reception next week.
A Moorhead club is looking for potential sponsors.
In sports, Rowan and Bath County football face off tonight.
But Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy tonight with lows around 64 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead police are searching for a man accused of exposing himself to several women. Authorities are searching for 26-year-old Dracor Grant, who goes by Corey. He is charged with second-degree indecent exposure and second-degree evading arrest. Moorhead Police Captain Kyle Callahan.
I guess he's been living here and he's staying with his girlfriend, which his girlfriend is wanted. She also has an active warrant for her, too, now.
Grant's girlfriend, 18-year-old Serena Ross, is charged with second-degree hindering prosecution after police say she gave them a false name. The couple is believed to be together and driving a maroon 2016 Chrysler 200.
A former Boyd County High School teacher and coach accused of having a sexual relationship with a student is pleading guilty. The Daily Independent reports 53-year-old Michael Sammons of South Shore pled guilty to one count of prohibited use of an electronic communication system to procure a minor, just days before he was scheduled to stand trial. Sammons was originally charged and indicted on a prohibited use of an electronic communication system to procure a minor with third-degree rape in May 2017. Court documents report the Commonwealth dismissed the rape charge without prejudice at the victim's request. Sammons is rescheduled for sentencing on October 12th.
A Floyd County man was caught stealing various items from a relative yesterday. According to WYMT, Mason Tackett was notified by neighbors that 37-year-old Philip Hagens was taking items out of his home. Tackett says it looked like Hagens was trying to steal items to sell later.
When I finally got down here to the house to look, see what happened, the door was standing wide open. It looked like he was packing up for a yard sale when he came out.
Tackett was surprised by the items Hagens was trying to steal, including a cheese grater and an empty bottle of Lysol. Hagens is charged with receiving stolen property and being a convicted felon with a firearm. Tackett plans on filing further charges.
A husband and wife were arrested in Nicholasville Wednesday for allegedly growing marijuana. Officials with the Jasmine County and Nicholasville Police Department say they seized approximately 75 plants and several pounds of processed marijuana at the home of David and Carrie Farrow. Officer Kevin Grimes spoke with WKYT.
There's a lot of criticism about enforcing the laws against marijuana, but as of yesterday and today, marijuana is still illegal in the state of Kentucky, and we don't really pick and choose which laws we enforce. We try to enforce them all.
Grimes said the couple had plants from seedlings to adults.
A Laurel County man is behind bars after shooting at a vehicle. WKYT reports 20-year-old Seth Eversole was traveling down West Highway 80 Wednesday night when he shot at a truck containing people who he claims were harassing his brother moments earlier. Laurel County Sheriff's Deputy Gilbert Asiardo says 8 shots were fired from the gun, several of them striking the truck.
It actually struck the vehicle in the passenger door. It actually blew out a tire on the right rear of the vehicle, and there's a round that went into the tailgate.
Eversole says the shooting wasn't out of spite, but rather in fear for his life. He says shooting at the truck was a split-second choice to prevent him from being ran off the road. Eversole is charged with first-degree wanton endangerment. He is currently lodged in the Laurel County Detention Center.
Two people have been arrested after a Maysville drug bust. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, 56-year-old Deborah Pauly and 33-year-old Anthony Sylvie are charged with first-degree trafficking in a controlled substance. The arrests came after a raid on 428 Buckner Street yesterday afternoon. Polly's drug charges were unspecified, while Sylvie's involved heroin. They are both lodged in the Mason County Detention Center and are scheduled for arraignment in the Mason County District Court Monday.
We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The City of Ashland's public information officer has announced her resignation. According to the Daily Independent, Joanna King will step down from the post on August 31st. She announced her resignation, citing personal reasons, during yesterday's Board of Commissioners meeting. City Manager Michael Gracie praised King for her work since her hiring in November. King took up the post in December. City officials say they created the position in an effort to improve communication with the public and the media.
A school in Letcher County is hoping to have a more secure year. According to EKBTV, police officer Jim Stevens will be protecting the students at Jenkins Independent. Stevens says he is content to be patrolling the halls and protecting the district's students.
They all tell me they're glad I'm here. A lot of the students will say that they appreciate us being here. Do a lot of cutting up with them because I've been here before, so we all know each other pretty well. The staff is excellent. I can't believe the amount of appreciation they show to you. It's really, really, really good being here.
The resource officer is being funded through a grant from the school district.
Eastern Kentucky University says it is reducing tuition for students who are serving active duty in the military. A statement from a school in Richmond says effective immediately, active duty service members on federal orders for at least 180 days will be charged $250 per credit hour for undergraduate courses and $325 per credit hour for graduate courses. EKU spokesman Jerry Wallace says typical fees for online classes are $409 per credit hour for undergraduate courses and between $510 and $611 for graduate courses. Eastern says the aim is to make higher education possible for service members on active duty, no matter their location. Students can still apply for federal financial aid and can use GI Bill benefits for any remaining costs. EKU Online offers more than 40 degrees and certificates.
The Bluegrass Biennial Juried Art Exhibit will hold its closing reception on August 29th from 5 to 7 p.m. Moorhead State University's Golden Yang Art Gallery has played to host the exhibit since June 4th. Gallery director Jennifer Ross says the 23 artists who were featured in the exhibit submitted pieces spanning a wide range of mediums.
In the exhibition this year, we have site-specific sculpture. We have traditional works like traditional photography, traditional drawing. We have really large scale textile pieces. Some are made out of traditional and then, non-traditional materials like microfilm.
The Bluegrass Biennial Juried Art Exhibit, which will be held next year in 2020, is open to all Kentucky artists 18 years of age and older. To be notified of calls for entry for this exhibit and others, search for and like the Golden Yang Art Gallery on Facebook.
A Moorhead club is looking for potential sponsors in their attempt to give back to the community. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins has the story.
The Moorhead Young Professionals Association will be hosting a community adult kickball tournament in September. The proceeds of the event will go to the Kentucky State Police program, Shop with a Trooper. The program allows a Christmas shopping experience for children who come from families with economic challenges. The MYPA are searching for sponsors to help them reach their goal, which is to add more families to the program for the 2018 holiday season. The tournament takes place on September 22nd, and the entry fee for teams is $100. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Democrat gubernatorial hopefuls need to stop worrying about 2019 and focus on helping Democrats take back the House in 2018. That's the challenge Representative Rocky Adkins put out on Thursday. Speaking at the annual county ham breakfast, the House Minority Leader specifically called out Andy Beshear, who has already announced his candidacy for governor, and his father, former Governor Steve Beshear.
Andy Beshear, Steve Beshear, we need your efforts to help us raise the funds that we need. Stop raising the money for an election that's going to take place in 2019. Let's raise the money we need for 2018, and let's take back the Kentucky House of Representatives. And that will help any governor that's elected in 2019, a Democrat governor, to have the House back in control of Democrats.
Adkins has hinted at his own potential run at the governor's mansion, but has yet to officially declare himself as a candidate. Republicans took control of the House in January 2017 for the first time since 1922. They currently outnumber Democrats 63-37 and also hold control of the Senate. Election day in Kentucky is November 6th.
Researchers say the rate of black lung disease among coal miners is continuing to increase. Coal miners are often working longer hours and spending more time underground, which is the major contributor to the increase of the disease. Kara Halden of the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health tells WYMT that learning more about black lung to help these miners is what motivates her organization.
It is very depressing sitting here looking at a gentleman who worked his entire career and then now really has no retirement or no quality of life in retirement. And that is sort of what drives us.
Miners at the meeting who have black lung say they wish the information being shared Thursday was available while they were still working. They say if given the choice to go back in time, they would probably change careers. Another informational meeting about black lung research and how to apply for benefits will be held on August 28th in Whitesburg. For more information, visit appalachianlawcenter.org.
The Lexington Board of Architectural Review has given the green light to demolish a building in the historic South Hill neighborhood. But as Josh James reports, the decision could send developers back to the drawing board.
The building located at the intersection of High and Upper Streets has been eyed for redevelopment by the Webb Companies, which is seeking to raise the structure to build a multi-story condominium project. Despite a thumbs down from the city's historic preservation staff, the developer won approval from the board, provided the structure is limited to four stories. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the original plans called for a building five stories high on one side, and attorneys say the change could lop nearly a third of the building's units off. The company has yet to decide whether to appeal the height limitation. The South Hill Neighborhood Association has raised concerns about the precedent the demolition could set. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky officials say unemployment rates fell in 110 of the state's counties between July 2017 and July 2018. The Kentucky Center for Statistics says jobless rates rose in the state's other 10 counties. Officials say Woodford County had the state's lowest unemployment rate at 3.5%. It was followed by Campbell County at 3.6%. Boone and Kenton counties were next at 3.7% each, followed by Fayette, Oldham, and Scott counties at 3.8% each. Magoffin County had the state's highest jobless rate at 13.8%. Carter County was next at 9.7%. It was followed by Elliott County at 9.4%, Wolf County at 9.1%, Leslie at 8.8%, Harlan County at 8.5%, and Clay and Knott counties at 8.1% each.
Taking a look at the weather this afternoon, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 81. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 64. Saturday, there's a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 82. Saturday night, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 87. Sunday, you can expect a mostly sunny day with a high near 87. The local temperatures in Fleming County is 80 degrees. In Lexington, it's 79 degrees. In Ashland, it's 82. In Winchester, it is 79. In Inez, it is 83. And here on the Moorhead State University campus, it is 80 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff gets fired up about electrons deciding what people mean.
Over the decades, semioticians have represented meaning in model form using a triangle, a handy way to illustrate that meaning relies on at least six things, including concepts, objects, signs, conventions, perceptions, and experience. Meaning is not a thing, it's an activity. But some unfortunate business is being conducted lately that denies the wisdom of this triangle of meaning, a truncation of the findings of my own field, speech communication, and allied fields, such as sociolinguistics, has led governments and businesses to conclude that human communication is simple enough for machines to code and to understand. But when individuality is kept top of mind, simplified models of meaning, such as are used by security software, will not be taken at face value. Individuals can, will, and do defy predictions and predications based on communication models. How the oversimplification happens is this. Cues such as pacing or sweating or an elevated heart rate, or words, such as those listed by the Department of Homeland Security, as troubling, such as Mexico, shoot, and pork, are sensed by machine and coded by machines programmed by people who likely have made an error. And this is an error harmful to the individual, primarily. The error is the simple correlation of meaning, as if expressions from humans were numeric. In math, 2 is 2, but in communication, a word can mean dozens of things, and a gesture or movement can mean more than that. Sociocultural factors, context, environment, timing, wit, sarcasm, poetry, dance, all of these complicate meaning. No machine can account for, interpret, and understand communication with consideration of individuality. Averages, tendencies, group definitions, and simplified coding replace judgment, compassion, acumen, intuition. How do you code any of that? The machines are being taught to perform the same mistakes hasty human beings make when it comes to communication, and that is trusting our conclusions. Quite often we're wrong, or have oversimplified what the other meant, or we miss parts of it. Are machines capable of correcting the errors that are programmed into them? You cannot be understood by a surveillance camera, appreciated as a data point, or fairly compared to and matched to meanings by a machine that will always be out of date and literally out of touch. Despite this, cameras are now feeding surveillance software that decides if you are a threat, and in some cases predicts what you will do next. That they are right on occasion does not mean they are right in the first place. Our rage against the machine ought to focus on this. Imperfect, profit-driven humans program their misperceptions and biases and academic information into devices that now observe, analyze, and judge our behavior. And as this happens, a parallel campaign proceeds that equates certain forms of that behavior with certain censurable forms of thinking. And if that comes into practice, we're off the cliff. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. The time is 4:48. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Peyton Stewart, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
The Friday night lights are on again for WMKY Sports. This is Leanne Akers. As the Bath County Wildcats prepare to travel to Morehead tonight to face off with the Vikings, head coach Johnny Pointer says that his team is very similar to the 7-4 team they boasted last year, after losing only 5 players. Pointer also says that although Rowan is better than last year, he thinks consistency is going to be key during tonight's matchup.
They're much improved team from last year. Coach Ford, he came over to our weightlifting meeting. You know, they've done a good job getting everything rolling in the right direction. Everybody knows we're going to run the ball. I mean, that's pretty much what we've done for the last 2 years is line up and run the ball, so that's kind of what we're looking to do tonight.
The Wildcats have triumphed over the Vikings for 3 years straight. The Rowan County Vikings have been hard at work this week prepping for tonight's matchup. Head coach Kelly Ford says the team is looking forward to the game.
Bath County has beat us the last 3 years, and they want to get that. That's another goal that they had set for the year is to beat Bath County, and they're itching to play.
After tonight, the Vikings travel to Mason County next Friday for the team's first road game. Kickoff for tonight's matchup is 7:30. In other area football action tonight, Boyd County heads to Fairview for the season opener for both teams. East Carter travels to Lewis, West Carter heads to Powell, and Morgan County hosts Jenkins. The Cincinnati Bengals have cut defensive tackle Chris Baker. They signed Baker in March with hopes that he would show signs of his heyday in Washington. Baker was drafted by Denver in 2009, and he played for Miami in 2010 before starting a five-year stint with the Redskins. While there, he posted his best year in the NFL. In 2015, he had 6 sacks, 26 tackles, and 27 assists. Even with the moves, the Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis says that their D-line is shaping up.
Well, I think we're really comfortable with it. I think, obviously, that what Sam has done and, you know, Jordan Willis and Carl go into their second years, and Billings is, Andrew's, you know, playing well and healthy and return the other veteran guys. So, you know, I feel good about that. And we'll get some of the two other young guys back in practice this week, which will help us that have missed the last 2 weeks.
The Bengals continue preseason play Sunday against the Bills. The Rowan County boys soccer team took a 10-0 win over Ashland at home last night. The Vikings had 6 different players find the back of the net, with Matthew Gagliano and Ryan Mullen tying for the top score with 3 goals each. Coach Max Hammond says his team was able to score the first goal within the first couple minutes of play.
You know, after that, they started moving the ball a little bit. Then we settled in probably after the first 15 or 20 minutes, and the rest of the game played really well. The boys were moving the ball around, had terrific play out of my midfield. You know, I was really happy with how the outside backs got involved in the play also.
The Vikings travel to George Rogers Clark on Monday for a 7:30 matchup. In other regional soccer action, East Carter hosts Dixie Heights tomorrow at 4 p.m., West Carter faces Menifee at Bath County's 15-16 All-A Sectional, and Ashland Blazer hosts Fleming County at noon. The Rowan girls soccer team hosts Belfry tomorrow at 1 p.m. The Lady Vikings are coming off a loss at Bourbon on Wednesday, taking the team to 1-2 on the season. In other area girls soccer action, West and Menifee will face off tomorrow morning at the Region 16 Class A tournament at Bath County. The winner will face the host school at 6 p.m. The Moorhead State soccer team dropped a 2-1 overtime match to the Kentucky Wildcats on Thursday evening at the Bell Soccer Complex. The Wildcats led most of the contest after netting a goal from Marissa Bosco in the 21st minute before Moorhead State redshirt sophomore Katie Quinn found the back of the net with a header in the 82nd minute. The Quinn goal came off a perfectly placed cross from the boot of senior defender McKenna Levatori. Quinn's goal was her first of the season and second of her career. Moorhead State attempted 7 shots in the match, with 3 being on target and 2 coming from Quinn. In goal, redshirt sophomore Eva Helgatori made 5 saves and faced 17 Wildcat shots. The Eagles will next play host Ball State on Sunday at 2 p.m. The match will be Moorhead State's home opener and will be streamed live on the OVC Digital Network. The Rowan County volleyball team moved to 2-0 on the season last night with a win over Holy Family. The Lady Vikings held the Lady Irish to single digits in the first 2 sets. Coach Steve Walter says his team is young, but not without experience.
We're returning 5 juniors who are now seniors and a host of sophomores that are now juniors. The vast majority of them played JV, and my JV team was undefeated in the region last year.
Rowan travels to Menifee on Tuesday. In other regional volleyball action, Russell moved to 10-0 on the season, sweeping West Carter on the road last night. The Red Devils face East Carter tomorrow at the Pops Chevy Summer Slam in Paintsville. The Lady Raiders beat Fleming at home last night, taking 3 of 4 games. East opens tourney play with Russell at 10 a.m. 14 total blocks, including 10 block assists from senior middle blocker Maddie Fella, led Moorhead State to a season-opening win of St. Francis Brooklyn this morning. The volleyball Eagles captured the match, taking all three sets. Fella terminated 12 shots in the match, falling one block assist short of her own match record. She teamed with senior right side hitter Jordan Jones on five occasions to stuff potential attack attempts. Jones added nine total blocks in the match, all assists, teaming up with Fella to pace the Eagles. The Eagles return to the court at Weatherby Gym this evening to face Bradley in the Eagle Challenge's final match of the evening. First serve is set for 7 p.m. A former Morehead State University basketball player was arrested on Sunday for possession of marijuana. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has more.
ESPN reports that Kenneth Fareed of the Brooklyn Nets was arrested in Bridgehampton, New York, when the vehicle he was in went through a DWI checkpoint. Fareed was known as the Manimal when he led the Eagles through the first round of the NCAA tourney in 2011. Officers of the Southampton Police Department said they detected a strong odor of marijuana emanating from the vehicle. Fareed was charged with fourth-degree marijuana possession and later released on $500 bail. The Nets said in a statement they are aware of the situation and, quote, are in the process of gathering more information at this time. For WMKY News, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle Volleyball will host the Eagle Challenge today and tomorrow with matches against St. Francis Brooklyn, Bradley, and Hampton. Also, Eagle Soccer welcomes Ball State Sunday at 2 p.m. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ both reached all-time highs, and the broader market also climbed after the top Federal Reserve official characterized the U.S. economy as, quote, strong. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 133.37 at 25,790.35. As mentioned, the S&P 500 closing at an all-time high with a gain of 17.71 at 2874.69, and the NASDAQ Composite also finishing at an all-time high with a gain of 67.52 at 7945.98. This was the first record close for the S&P 500 since January 26th, and the market leaders today were materials and technology stocks. And in the tech sector, Netflix rose 5.8% after analysts at SunTrust upgraded the stock, noting it will keep going higher because of its success overseas. The stock has had a strong week, gaining more than 10%. Fed Chair Jerome Powell delivered a speech at the Jackson Hole Symposium in Wyoming, where leading central bankers met to discuss the future of monetary policy. Powell said he sees further and gradual rate hikes moving forward, noting the economy is strong and can handle tighter monetary policy. The strong results from retail stocks this week led the major indexes to slight weekly gains as investors shook off the renewed geopolitical worries surrounding President Trump. The S&P 500 rose almost 1%, the NASDAQ was up 1.7%, while the Dow rose 0.5% on the week. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.8% at $68.60 a barrel. Gold was up 1.5% at $1,212 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up slightly, with the Stock 600 index showing a gain of less than 0.1%. In Asia, stocks were mostly higher, with the Nikkei up 0.7% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.2%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Dow, DuPont, and Visa, while the worst performers were Nike and Goldman Sachs. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Autodesk and Advance Auto Parts, while the worst performers were Foot Locker and Gap. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was AEP up 19 cents at $71.55, Ashland Global down 72 cents at $84.85, CSX up 70 cents at $74.65, AK Steel up 3 cents at $4.28, Marathon Petroleum up $2.21 at $83.83, and Anthem was up $1.09 to finish at $265.37. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Joe Lewis, Chaz Jenkins, Leanne Akers, Nacogdoches Miller, and Cody Robinson. From WUKY, Josh James. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature commentary today came from MSU professor Dr. John Modaf. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Peyton Stewart and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.